I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. And again, I want to wish the people in our radio audience still listening, that are listening to us. And you can listen to us on HarrisburgChurchCoc.com. That's the website, and it's got 24-hour broadcasting. And our services are, class is 9:30 in the morning. We have 10:30 worship service and 6 o'clock worship service on Sunday. And Bible class at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. You're all welcome to come there. Our announcements today. Let's remember Naoma Simmons for her back and lungs and heart. And also let's remember Dustin Jackson. Dustin moved to a new facility because Naoma and her husband were taking care of him. And let's remember him. And he moved to 835 Lincoln Street. And probably drop him a card or a visit, and he would probably enjoy that. And let's remember Ken and Sandy White, and let's remember Sue Clark. When she fainted, they found out that she'd had a stroke and heart failure. She's back at home now, and she has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And let's see here. And Melissa Porta said she's still suffering from her injured foot, and she has a doctor's appointment August 5th. She says it still hurts, but she thinks that it's doing better. Let's remember Pearl Hyatt. She fell on Monday, and broke her right wrist and bruised her right hip. And she's at Axion Healthcare, and she's going to be there for 6 to 8 weeks. Let's remember Pearl. And again, let's remember the Blair's niece, Sophia. She's one that had the growth in her throat that she has to have a procedure for that like every 3 months or she can't breathe. James Miller told me that his mother has had another procedure on her on the cancer place that they took off of her nose. He said they actually stuck a needle in her, pulled, it's infected, and she's been given an antibiotic for that. So let's pray for Sharon Miller that she can get all this cleared up. I'm sure she's wanting to clear it up real bad. Let's pray for her to do that. Oh, and also Pearl, David said she was, or the minister said that she's in good spirits. He went and visited her or talked to her. Let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King are homebound. Oh, and also Marissa and Krista, as James said, should be returning back from Tennessee where she's going to start going to school down there. And so I think her older sister told me she's got an apartment. Did I get the sisters mixed up?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Michaela. Anyway, Michaela is the one that's going to go to college. I'm sorry about that. I had a 50-50 chance. Let's from upcoming birthdays and anniversaries. Molly and I, our anniversary is coming up on the 3rd. Bob Crane has a birthday. Happy birthday, Bob, and that's on August 12th. August 16th is Jack and Millie King's anniversary. August 17th is Deborah Poe's birthday, and Luke Volkert has a birthday on August 28th. Also, there is a reminder for bringing non-perishable or canned goods for the pantry. On our order of worship today, I'm doing the announcements. Also, I'm doing the song leading. Don DeMario is going to do the opening prayer. And on the Lord's Supper table this morning will be David and Mike Porter will assist, David Morris. Our scripture reading will be done by David Hutchcraft, and it's Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And Doug will be doing our sermon, and our closing prayer will be done by Charles Wall. Have I left anybody out? Is there any other announcements, or anybody have any input or anything? Okay. Let's start out with number 242. 242. We read a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the there are flowing, and all will drink
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he held all my weaknesses taken and all my sorrows born. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Let's do number 653. And after this song, we'll have our minds led in prayer by, I believe, Dawn and Mary. 653. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I, Samaritan, sight of the gates of light. If the way of the cross I miss, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood sprinkled way. The path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of light, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door.
The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know that I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we're coming to you so thankful for the opportunity to meet in your church, thankful for the beautiful weather, the sunshine. Father, as we go through our lives, we take advantage of so many things that we get from you that are given to us. And we just need to learn to appreciate all these things from day to day. Father, there are many of our number, however, that are not feeling their best, that are having issues. Thinking about Sue as she's dealing from her stroke, and Pearl as she's dealing from her broken wrist. Father, there are many of our number, many that are still here today in this room that have issues that need your loving care and your healing powers. Please be with all of us as we go through our day to day, and help us to recover and be sure that we remember that gift of healing does come from you. Father, as we go through our lesson today, let us apply it to our lives. Help us to share that word with others that we meet from day to day. There's always opportunities, and we need to learn how to take advantage of those opportunities. Father, be with us as we go through this service and through the rest of our day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would turn your song to number 495. The depths and the riches will be the song before we take to the Lord's Supper. It'll be a song to help us prepare our minds. And then after we do the Lord's Supper, we'll have the scripture reading, and then we'll do another song, and then Doug will do his lesson. Number 495. Oh, the depths and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary. How my heart humbly bows in His presence today when I think of His agony. By His stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary. Oh, what marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By His blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free through His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary.
Let's go to God in prayer. Merciful, righteous Father, we thank You for this day, Father, and we thank You for this opportunity now to assemble around this table. and to partake of these emblems, Father, these emblems that your Son left many, many years ago, where he told them to his disciples, his early disciples, he told them to do this in remembrance of him. And Father, it's with that same spirit that we're doing so today. Father, we pray, Father, that each of us, that we partake of these things in a worthy manner, remembering the body of Jesus. Father, as we partake of this bread, Father, we ask that you bless it now and that you bless each one of us as we partake, that we remember that Jesus came as a man, God in the flesh, and that he bore those sins. He endured so many things that we experience, Father, yet he didn't give in to temptation. He didn't give in to sin, and he was the innocent one. We're thankful for his example, Father, and as we partake of this bread, help us, Father, to be sober-minded, to think truly Jesus is the Son of God. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's continue. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus. It was the greatest gift you could ever give us. He came down from your side knowing the torture and harassment he was going to receive here on earth because he loved us so much. The pain that he went through on that cross. The mocking while he was on that cross. You know, it's so humbling to know that he loved us so much that he would go through that torture and torment to shed his blood for us. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, let us remember the blood that Jesus shed on that cross for the redemption of our sin. You know, it's the greatest gift you could ever give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
separate part of our worship is an act of giving back to God a portion of the blessings He's given us. And so it's our opportunity now to recognize those things and to offer back to Him a portion of those things so that the work of the church might further go forward. Pray with me now. Father, we're thankful for this day, and we're thankful for this opportunity to give back, to recognize, Father, that all things that we have are merely on loan, that they're really from You, and You blessed us with these things, Father. And Father, we don't want to be people who are wasteful. We don't want to be people who are unappreciative. We, Father, want to be people who are like You, people who share, people who are caring and want to help others, Father. At this time, Father, we want to offer back this portion that You bless us with, and we pray that You'll bless both the gift and the giver, that the work of the church might be furthered and Your will might be accomplished for mankind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Today's scripture reading will be Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. If you're looking in your pew Bibles, that'll be on page 1006. And the Bible reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, not in accordance with kingdom. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." I'd like everybody also to keep the people in Ukraine and the people in Gaza in their prayers. I saw on the news this morning, they look like refugees from a death camp in Gaza, and I'm sure it's the same in Ukraine. So keep them in your prayers.
If you would, please mark number 23 in your hymnals. This will be the invitation song, the song of encouragement after Brother Barry's lesson. Number 23, "All Things Are Ready." Then the song before the lesson, Brother Barry's lesson, will be number 315. 315, and then we'll have the lesson.
"I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high. I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell a single story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, there no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way, and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep Him ever nigh, and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
I had a bit of an argument with this mic this morning as I was trying to put it on, but we'll get along here, okay? It sounds like it's a little high as far as sound is concerned. Can you turn it down a little bit? Don's going to get that. I just wanted to say, you know, that I have been gone to the seminar polishing the pulpit down in Branson this last week, and so a couple weeks now, including a few days with my family. And it was really good. I really appreciate it. It was very uplifting and encouraging, and I hope to be sharing some things from it with all of you coming up. Today, as we look at our text from Romans chapter 11, we see that the church in Israel, the church compared to Israel in this passage. Now, it's mostly talking a lot about Israel, but we know that the church is a type of Israel, the people of God. And so that's one of the things we're going to be talking about, and how that we are saved by grace as we offer this grace to the world. So, turn to Romans with me, chapter 11, and I'm going to begin by reading the first five verses. I say then, God has not rejected His people, has He? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, and God has not rejected His people, whom He foreknew. Or do you not know that the Scripture says in this passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. God has not rejected His people, the Israelite people, and God will not reject His people today if we will but turn to Him and walk with Him. God holds out hope for the people of Israel at that time, and He holds out for the people of Israel and really for all the world, has He not? For God wants all men everywhere to be saved. And today we know that the church is God's people on this earth, that God has, that when we, it says in Acts chapter 2, when they began the church, that there were 3,000 people that were added to it that very first day. And the church was begun at that point in that time. And the church was started and began to grow. And as we think about this as our text today, and we look at this comparison, if you will, we see that Jesus died for his church, but he also died for all people of all time. So those that were right with God before the cross, he died for them, as well as he died for us today. God wants us as his. God wanted the church in Israel, he wanted the Israelite people to be his. He came to them, didn't he? He came to them first. He talked to them. He preached to them. He shared with them. He healed them. And he wanted them to be his. At one point in time, he looked out over Jerusalem and he said, and he wept because he said, I would like to gather my people as under a hen gathers her chicks under the wing. And if you've ever seen that, you know, that actual expression, how a hen clucks and she gathers her chicks under her wings, it's quite a beautiful comparison that God draws for us. But God wants us. That's the key here that we want to know. God wanted Israel back. He wanted them to turn back to him. And of course, many did, but also most did not. You know, what is your story here? You know, Paul said in this text, he says, for I am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. Several times in the Bible, the Apostle Paul tells us his story. Let's look at one of those examples in Philippians chapter 3. Turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Paul here says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and to the law a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever these things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know, Paul said he was these things. He uses some of the same wording there as he does here, that he was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, and so on. Paul says, this is what my background was, and I believed that I was doing what God wanted me to do. But he said, as of course in verse 7, he says that that was not the case. Whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul often told his own story about his life because he wanted them to know what he was, what he did, how his life was changed by Christ. And of course we have those examples in Acts. Three times Paul tells his story in a much greater detail than he does here. But the question that I would have for you today is, what is your story? What is your Christian heritage? I'm going to tell you a little bit of mine so you can get an idea. And we all have these stories, so maybe, of course, not the same. We all have a different story. But when I was about the age of 6, my parents had come across an invitation to attend the Church of Christ. They had been attending a denominational church. And my dad, being a traveling salesman, had traveled and every got a he was unhappy. And so he would visit a different church every time. He got more and more confused. But after they started attending the church, he and my mom had a family that came over to our house and showed some film strip series called the Jewel Miller Film Strip Series. And not just that, because they studied for almost 2 years. Before they decided to become Christians, as the New Testament teaches. And they did, about the time that I was 8 years old. And then about a year and a half later, when I was about 9 and a half, I also did. And the same people that were my mom and dad's teachers in my home eventually became my Bible school teachers. The wife, Martha, was my early Bible school teacher, and then later on, Cornell, her husband, became my teacher as a teenager. But I went on to, we moved around a bit. I moved from Pierce, South Dakota, to Mitchell, where we helped establish a church, then on to Kerrville, Texas, where the church was huge by our standards in South Dakota. It was about 300, 350 people. I thought, wow, this is something else, you know. And during that time, I did my first preaching, street preaching, out on a street with some of our other teens. And I'm sure it wasn't very great, but it was an experience for me. I was to go on to two Bible colleges, York College and York, Nebraska. I was a junior college, and I finished up my four-year college in Lubbock, Texas, where I got Bible degrees. And as I finished up a Bible degree, I'm not going to go into step-by-step for every place I went, but I started out as a youth minister. We started a bus program, so I was a bus minister. I went on to be a preacher at a congregation, and later on, a preacher and a campus minister. at the same time. And then, from there on, I did some other preaching in other places and several different congregations. And I'd always wanted, I was a missionary in a sense, because mostly I worked with small congregations. And by the time I came, I was about in the year 2000, I decided, had the opportunity, invited to go to Ukraine. And I went there for 6 weeks and really fell in love with that country and the people there. So I determined I would go back full time. And so from 2002 to 2008, I lived and worked in Kremenchuk, Ukraine. And that was a great ministry. We had a lot of wonderful things happen there. In 2008, I decided I should return to the States. And I preached in two different churches in Iowa and then one in Washington State, in central Washington. And it's a Bible name, by the way, Ephrata, but that's what they say in Pennsylvania. There's only one other church town in the country, but we pronounced it Ephrata in Washington State. And then in 19, I went back to Ukraine for 3 years. And then as the war started, getting ready to start, we knew it was coming, I left, and I was retired for 2 years. And then guess what? I came here. And so we've been here now since about a year ago, April. You know, why is that important? Why is it important that we know each other's story? Because we all have one, don't we? The Apostle Paul thought it was important to share his story about how he came to Christ and how he came a part of God's church and helped establish it and to grow it. It's because that's what's important to him. I think sometimes when we talk to people and sit down and visit with them or share with our friends, tell them something. You don't have to tell them all your story. I didn't tell you all mine. We've been here all day if I tell you all my story, you know. But to share with them what your faith means and what it means to be a part of the church, what it means to be a part of the family of God. Because those are the kind of things that convict people, move them to think about what they want to do and what they want to become. You see, God knew that. The Apostle Paul knew that as he shared these things with them. In verses 2 and 3 of this chapter, Elijah often felt very much alone in his ministry. Matter of fact, he asked God, because of the world and the world that was pressing in around him, God, why don't you just destroy them? Why don't you put them out of the ministry? He was alone because of how Israel was treated him and how they disobeyed God. But God said, I have 7,000 people that you don't know that have not bowed the knee to Baal. That there's people, 7,000 men. And so there's probably women and children there along with that too. You know, the congregation that I was at in Branson, Missouri, with polishing the pulpit, there were over 2,000 people there and sitting in a big auditorium. Our singing was good this morning. Thank you, James. But it was awesome to sit and sing and praise God with 2,000 people. Then one time on Sunday afternoon, there was this class I came into. It sounded good, so I went. It was about singing. But it was singing. There was two song leaders, and they got up and just switched songs. And we sang for 45 minutes, solid. Just long enough for them to announce the page and for us, to put it up on the screen, actually. And it wasn't a big room, maybe the size of this section of pews over here. But it was just beautiful. Uplifted the soul, encouraged you so much. And there was a group of young women that were sitting over in the row next to me over here. And afterwards, I went over to them and said, it sounds like angels are singing over here. You know? But it's hard when you're alone, when you feel alone. And that's how Elijah had felt. But God says, no, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're with you. How many oftentimes do we feel alone? Having come back after Ben at that seminar, the worshiping that we did, the Bible lessons and everything, and then after that, right after that, I went for about 3 days and spent 3 days with three very lively grandchildren, 11, 9, and 6, and it was a joy. And of course, with my son and his daughter too, you can't pass them up, right? Then after I got home, it was so quiet, you know? And as this began to think that, boy, you don't even think about that so much until you get alone. You know, Sometimes it's easy to feel small, I'm not talking about myself, but for us as a church here, to feel small and insignificant. But we're not insignificant to God. We're what God wants us to be and where He wants us to be. Sometimes we feel alone because maybe how the church and the world treats us. But that's just people. We have to understand and be loving and forgiving as Paul was to the people in which he was talking to. You see, God has not rejected His people, as we've been talking about. That 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, they weren't alone. We're not alone. I think that sometimes when people like Pearl and Sue have been kind of isolated by themselves, it's easy to feel alone when you're like that. But they're not. They're not alone. We may be small, like I said, but faithfulness is what of greatest importance, to remain faithful and strong to God and walk with Him and to be right with Him and to live in Him. We are the chosen of God. Turn to Ephesians with me, if you will, chapter 1. Ephesians, the first chapter, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intentions of His will. We are the chosen people of God, not because we're important, not because we're special, but because God chose everyone. And when we accept Him, we become the chosen of God. God has chosen us, and we have responded to that to respond to Him. We are of those who have been answered the call of God. So if you're listening to this radio broadcast today and on our website, I want you to understand that God is calling you too. God is calling everyone to Him. He wants us to be His. As the nation Israel was His, as the church is His, He wants you to be a part of it too. We answer the call of God and become His family, His chosen, His called out. Let's turn now back to Romans and read verses 6 through 10. Romans chapter 11, verses 6 through 10. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. But those who are chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see and ears to hear not. Down to this very day, and David says, let this table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and to bend their backs forever. So, we are chosen by grace. We are God's remnant, God's chosen by grace. We're told that there's going to be two roads that people will walk in this life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to salvation. So, which do you want to walk? It's easier to walk sometimes, you might think, the broad way. But when we really realize it and come down to it, I would not want to be on that broad way. Because when I'm walking the narrow way, when we are walking the narrow way, we're walking with God. We're walking with Him. We have His strength. He is always there with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. His promises are always true. God is with us. We've been chosen by grace. And not of works, it says. Now, in the New Testament, the word works often means Old Testament. It all means the Old Testament law. And so he says, we're no longer under the Old Testament law, as the Israelites thought. But we are under God's grace, God's plan, God's mercy, the New Testament, if you will. We've been chosen by obeying God's grace. What does that mean? Well, God's grace is all of God's plan that He has to save us through Jesus Christ. It means that we're obeying Jesus. We're obeying the Word of God. And so when we are chosen by obeying God's grace, remember what we said earlier? God chose us. Now, because God chose all people to come and follow Him, He wants everybody. But when we obey Him and come to Him, we're responding to that grace. We obey His call and we answer His call so that we can follow Him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says, And this is talking about Jesus. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Number, what's it say he became to who? To all those who obey him. God wants people to follow him. We learn in the Old Testament that when the people were preparing to reach the promised land, God says, I've got so many plans for you. I am going to bless you in so much if you will obey me, if you will follow me, if you do what I say. He does the same thing for us. He got so many things he wants to bless us with, for us to walk with him and, of course, be with him eternally. If we will obey him, if we will love him, if we will serve him and do what he calls us to be, so that we can be in eternal life with him. He is our source. That means he is our way to eternal life with Jesus Christ. The blind and deaf that he talks about here, he condemns them. We read about this in our Bible class this morning also, that we have to stay open to God and his will. We don't want to shut off our hearing. We don't want to blind our eyes. We want to stay open to God. It's so easy when things try to take us a different way, that we shut off God, that we turn our backs on God, when we turn away from God. And so let us not do that. Let us not put other priorities and other things in the way, but come to God and be a part of the family, putting him first in all things and all ways, to do his will. If we want to walk with him, if we want to spend eternity with him, this is our call to be. Turn to Matthew now, chapter 13. Let's read verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, while with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. If you're listening to God and his word, and you're seeing what he's calling you to do, and you answer, Jesus is saying, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Why? Because you do see, you do hear, and respond to me. Jesus had thousands of people that he fed sometimes. Thousands of people that listened to him, that heard his word. They heard him calling, and many followed him. And we know, of course, that on that first day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they began to add to the church more, and then they began to multiply. And so there were thousands of people that did, but there were thousands of people that at the cross, everybody turned away from him. Nobody stood up for him. When they cried, crucify him, crucify him, there was no one that stood up and said, no, don't do that. Let us not be a people, a person, an individual, a group that stands up and say, no, I'm not going to walk with Jesus. No, I'm not going to do it his way. No, I'm not going to stand up when things get hard. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. That's what we should be saying. I'm going to follow him. Peter said, Lord, I will not deny you. But he did. We all have shortcomings. We all have failures. But God forgave Peter. God can forgive us and help us to turn back to him. But we must do his will if we're going to do that. Will we be blinded by what we want? You know, we want a lot of things, don't we? We like a lot of things. We want to do things our way and a lot of things in life. I'm going to do it my way or there's no way to do it. But we need to be humble and trust God and walk according to his plan. We'll be deaf by what others are saying. There's people that are in the world today that are saying, what you believe is not true. But if we follow the word of God, we can know it's true. We need to deafen ourselves to false teaching and false prophecy and follow the word of God and follow his way. Or will we be blessed to hear and see only Jesus and his will? That's the question that we have to answer. Actually, we should answer it every day. We should take up our cross daily and follow him if we want to be his. Let's read now back to Romans and read the last couple of verses of our text today. Romans chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? What will it take for us to humble ourselves before God? What is it for you? What is it for me? What will it take for me to say God is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me? What will it take for me, as Jesus says, not my will be done, but yours be done? What will it take for us to humble ourselves before God? What will it take for us to share the gospel with all? We've got to find a way to do this better. There's ways that are being done in our brotherhood today that are reaping great success. I went to a seminar, part of our seminar classes was on evangelism. And this brother that was talking, the plan of the program that he's been working with since 2019, since that period of time, they've had, in his work across the country, they've had 6,400 baptisms. In the last year, they have had 900 baptisms since the first of the year. Brothers and sisters, we need to look at ourselves and say, what are we going to do that we can better share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think there's a way, and I think we can do this and be a part of this if we will. Are we willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ? What will it take for us to be the people of God that God wants us to be? Day in and day out, upside down and inside out, over and around and about. What's it going to take? I know we all have to step up. I'm saying that in a personal way. I can be better. Can you? Can you do more? Can you be more for God? I think we all should say that. Paul said that. He says, I have not yet obtained, but I press on to the upward call of Jesus Christ. We all need that. Above all else, God wants for all people everywhere to be saved. That includes you and me. He calls us all to Him, to believe in Him, to repent of our past lives and turn back to Him, to confess His name and say, Lord, I believe You. I believe You are the Son of God. To commit our lives to Him above all else, to take up that cross daily and follow Him. And finally, to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sins so that we can arise from that as a new child of God to walk in the light for the rest of our lives. Won't you come to Him now as together we stand and sing?
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Give the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Give the invitation. Come, whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation. For welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine, tomorrow may never be. Give the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for soul salvation. feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life.
I want to thank Doug for the lesson this morning. Also, we want to thank the ones in our radio audience listening too. And if you need to contact the church building, the number is 618-252-7154. And Doug's number is 214-288-5768 or Doug.berry1@gmail.com is a way to get a hold of somebody here at the church building. And let's remember Sharon Miller and Melissa Porter and Sue Clark and Pearl Hyatt. And these are the ones that are having procedures and going to the doctor. And let's remember the ones that I mentioned in our announcements, the ones that are in nursing homes, the ones that are shut in. Let's remember the ones that are traveling, and the ones that will be traveling, school will be starting up in the next couple of weeks, so everybody will be scurrying around and traveling and try to get in their respective places. And let's remember what Dave Hutchcraft mentioned about Israel, Palestine, and all the refugees and displaced people and other places in the world that are having turmoil of Ukraine and other countries throughout the world. And remember, there's countries out there that don't have the freedom that we have here to be standing here and singing songs and hearing a lesson about God. And, you know, they don't have that freedom that we enjoy. And let's remember, we never take that for granted. And so let's remember all the ones in our announcements. Have I left anybody out? Is there any other announcements? Now, if not, then Brother Wall is going to lead our minds in prayer.
We're thankful, our Father, for the prayers we had this morning to come together to worship you, the true and living God. May we always have this privilege. Be mindful, Father, of those that's been mentioned that's having difficulties. Pray for Sue Clark that's having tests tomorrow. Everything will go well with her. Continue to bless Naomi. Where Pearl is still recovering from the fall she had. And we had everybody in all of our prayer lists and the shut-ins will all get to feeling better soon. Be mindful, Father, what a great mess this country's in because of politics. All the people in Ukraine and Gaza and Africa that are dying because we won't release the food in our warehouses to feed them. Father, shake up our government in such a way that they turn this food loose because you see these kids on television just starving, crying because they can't have anything to eat. It's a shame, Father. Help them to get that food. We pray your best, Brother James Miller's mom's father who's having difficulty the surgery, following the surgery. We pray that you'll bless her and the doctors and nurses and family as she can continue to get better. Get your best, Michaela and Christians there on that trip. Bless us all, Father, that need our prayers. Help us to be strong. Good to have Doug back with us again, safe and sound. Be with us all. Give us a good day and a good meeting this afternoon. Bring us back tonight at 5 and again, Wednesday evening at 6, forgive our sin, in Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.